from Tennessee, just like Brother Johnny there. But originally I'm from the Appalachian Mountains. We had an Appalachian boy over there. Were you a Tar Heel? Did they call you Tar Heel? Yeah. Kentucky. Okay, you're a northern. Yeah, okay, I got you. But I'm a transplant to Tennessee. And everybody asked me what I thought about Tennessee when I first moved there. I said, it's pretty much like home. Same climate, same weather, same attitude. It's pretty much the same. Redneck is as redneck does, I guess. But my name is Phil Miller, and I am a sinner. Through and through. I do my best, but I'm a sinner. I'm going to turn you to Matthew 6. I'm going to show you my sin. Well, the ones that I don't mind admitting. Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 21 is my focus. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Single meaning healthy. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and riches. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body more than raiment? And we'll stop right there. I don't have riches to be worried about, but yet I worry about it. I don't have fancy things, but yet I worry about those things. I worry about the power bill, the water bill, the house payment. That's the big one. I worry about what we're going to eat. I worry about it not for myself, but for my wife and my kids. If I was a single guy, hey, I'd grab a tent, duffel bag, and head out in the woods. You'd never see me again. I'd be just fine. That's the way I grew up. That was my thing. I could just throw in a knapsack and be gone for 2 weeks. And after a while, my mom quit worrying about me because she knew I knew what I was doing out there. But I can't do that with my kids, and I worry. I worry about the interest I'm paying on my house payment. I do the math. I know to the penny how much they stole from me last month. But, I went to them for the money, so they didn't really steal it. I worry about the economy. I worry about politics. Rednecks have no business worrying about politics. But I worry about it. I worry about my health. In times coming, and we've had some wonderful speakers pointing out the blissful adventures ahead. and I worry about those things. If I won the lottery, bear with me, follow me through here. If I win the lottery, and I try this every time I go somewhere and there's actually someone nice enough to say, is there anything else I can do for you, sir? Yeah, give me the winning numbers to the lottery. That's all I need. And they laugh, oh yeah, if I had that, I wouldn't be working here. Is money the answer? Well, let's see, my list, power bill would not be a problem anymore. The water bill would not be an issue. Just, there you go. The house payment, you kidding? I'd finally get to obey that verse that says, you'll be lending to others instead of having to borrow from them. Oh, this would be great. All my worries would be over. Remember when I started, I said, my name is Phil Miller and I'm a sinner? I know millionaires. I work for them sometimes. These guys got money. And I told this one, I would not trade places with you for anything. And he just looked at me real weird. I said, man, you got more worries and stress on you than anyone else I know. He's got like 50 employees or more. It was once upon a time I had 8 employees, me and my brother, and that's a lot of stress when you have 8 individuals and their families depending on the decisions you make. That's a lot of stress. I couldn't imagine 50. I couldn't imagine handling the kind of problems and stress that he has. No, money isn't the answer. Being a good steward is helpful, thinking about it, being responsible. You don't just go off and not pay it any mind. You have to think about these things, but the more money you have doesn't necessarily mean the less stress that you have. It may mean that you have more, and that goes back to the reading. You can't serve the two masters. Brother John and I have a common thought on your environment. The way you're raised, a lot of people say the way you're raised is how you perceive life, and that turns you into the person that you are. There's probably a better way to say that. But I agree more with Johnny. It's your reaction to your environment that makes you who you are. It is not your environment at all. It is your reaction to it. You got bills. What is your reaction? You've got problems. What is your reaction? How do you personally perceive the problem, address the problem, or ignore the problem? Do you serve as a slave the system that holds you down? Or do you serve God wholly? Your reaction is all that matters, not the situation that you find yourself in. And going along that line, I want to introduce you to a family that I met 20-some years ago. I worked with a government agency called the COG, the Council of Governments. Unfortunately, it wasn't the Church of God, it was Council of Governments. We remodeled and fixed up and built homes for underprivileged families. I did this for 14 years until Bill Clinton, the one that all these folks voted for, came in and cut all the money out of the programs. Meaning those poor folks that voted for him no longer got the help they needed. We'd go in, we'd fix up their homes. We met all walks of life. Usually it was politicians' families getting free work done to their house, or it was slum slum, horrid conditions, the worst I ever saw was a family, single parent family. No, the father didn't run off, he died. She was raising 12 children in a slow shack, a pre-Civil War slave shack, just about half the size of this stage that I am on. One room, dirt floor, handmade brick, one layer, that was the walls, branches and sod roof. And they were as happy as they could be. They had no power bill. They didn't have electricity. They had no water bill to worry about. They had no water coming into the house. They had a well. Well, that's terrible. The state wanted to come in and condemn the place, but the Historical Society, when they were butting heads, you can't tear down this structure. And the red tape, we spent more money and time on the red tape of whether or not we could even do anything with this place than we actually spent helping the folks, who, by the way, didn't want the help. They didn't want anything. They were fine. It's you people that's got the problems. You don't want us living like this. We're perfectly happy. Thank you very much, but go help somebody that wants it. We don't want it. Well, what do you do for water? No bathroom, no kitchen. Had a big basin. They would pull a curtain and they'd all take their baths and they'd eat. Had a potbelly stove. They all worked for food. No government checks ever issued to this place because they didn't even have an address. They weren't on the map. They were just there. I got to talking to this lady raising 12 children in a shack, and I'm talking about the ceiling was about this high. I walked around like this the whole time I worked on the place. The state finally decided if we add a bathroom onto the house, they would let it not be condemned. Now you're going to add an 8-foot high ceiling onto a sod roof shack that I could literally stand there and look over the top of the place. Made no sense. They didn't want it. When we got all the work done, of course we had to bring in power and a breaker, and we had to beat code with everything we're doing. We almost needed a ladder to get from the dirt floor up into the bathroom. When I got done with the project, the lady walks over to me. She says, "Now, where does the water come into the house?" I said, "Right over here at the street." "Now, how you cut that thing off?" "Because I've got no money to pay the water bill." And she was serious. I says, "I can't legally turn it off, ma'am. I'm sorry. You just shows me how. I takes care of it." So I showed her how. Then she gets me over to a little tiny woman. She could take any grown man I've ever seen, I guarantee it. Takes me over to the breaker box. "Now, how'd you turn this off? Just show me how. I know you can't do it. Just shows me how." Says, "You see that button at the top? You turn that down." She didn't want it. She just didn't want to have her house condemned and thrown out into the streets. Of course, they were going to dole her out with government checks, and we're going to give you an apartment to live in. It's going to be so wonderful. You'll have appliances. She said, "I don't want them." I said, "Ma'am, you've got to get on Social Security. You've got to be took care of." She says, "I got 12 children. I'm took care of." "Well, what do you do when you get old and you can't work anymore?" She says, "My kids take care of me. I took care of my mom. She took care of her mom." "Well, what happens when you die?" She says, Well, when one of us dies, we bury him. You got a button you can push that takes care of that for you? Oh, no, ma'am, we bury our dead too. Well, all right then. She looked at us like we were from another planet because they lived for God. I met her oldest son. This fella has full scholarship to any college he wanted to go to because he was smart as a whip, straight A student, hardworking, and all 12 of her children were like that. They did not live in a slum. They were not underprivileged. They far exceeded our expectations. Those children were godly children. This young man was about 7'2", grew up in a house where the ceiling was less than 6 feet high. I said, "How did you do it?" He said, "I spent a lot of time outside." Good kid. Good, wholesome values. I was impressed. They didn't worry about the economy. They didn't worry about gas prices. She didn't have a car. No driver's license, nothing. Now, I'm not suggesting that we do live like that. I'm not suggesting that we have to go to those extremes to get away from the stress. What I'm actually getting to is the whole point of their existence. Their life was based on God. They had no stress. None. When it rained, their sod roof. Have you ever been in a building, a structure that had a sod roof? They leak. It was raining on us one day. We ran inside and we're like, pots and pans laying around, but it was less rain than being outside. And they were just sitting there going along with their business. No worries. And they impressed me. So when I read these verses and I think and reflect on my concerns and my worries, and they would call that a distraction from thinking about what you should be thinking about, and that's the family of God. And I just wanted to leave you with that thought.